It's in the book of the prophet Isaiah that we read some of the most familiar words that are heard at Christmas time. In chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And in chapter 9, verse 2, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Those words were written by Isaiah many hundreds, perhaps 800 years before Jesus was born into the world. And the New Testament sees them as a prophetic word, looking forward to the time, to the birth of Christ. A few years ago, I was preaching through the book of Isaiah, Sunday by Sunday, and someone commented to me that they thought it was rather a gloomy book, this book of Isaiah. Could we not be more cheerful? It's true that if you read the whole of Isaiah, you'll find a great deal that is gloomy in it. The world we live in many ways, is gloomy. But in the book of Isaiah, there is always light beyond the gloom, a wonderful light of glory that will never be put out. In the book of Isaiah, there's plenty about darkness, but also light. Plenty about judgment of God upon the sin of man, but also much about forgiveness. Plenty about sin, but much about repentance. Plenty about unbelief of the people, but also much about great faith. Plenty about death, but much also about resurrection and everlasting glory. Something that even seems like the destruction of the earth, and yet beyond it, a new creation, an everlasting hope for this world reunited with heaven. And those themes go right the way through the book of Isaiah. Yes, there's gloom in the book, but plenty to encourage as well. Isaiah was a man who lived at a time when his own nation, the people of Israel, Judah, the part where he lived, and its city Jerusalem, were suffering from fear and gloom and darkness. When Isaiah walked through the streets of Jerusalem preaching, he knew that his own country was under terrible threat. Threat from inside. His whole country was corrupt and cruel. Crime and immorality went right through his society from top to bottom. It had become a cesspool, to use the words of the Chief Constable of Manchester this last week. That's what had happened to Judah and Jerusalem in the time of Isaiah. It was also threatened from outside by war. The armies of Syria and Samaria were threatening Judah and Jerusalem, and the people of Judah and Jerusalem were shaking like trees in the wind, we read today. It was a time of deep darkness for Judah and Jerusalem. And Isaiah is not blind to that, but he shows that beyond it there will be a light dawning. If you read the newspapers and watch the television today, you will also read plenty of gloom but the difference between the newspapers and the TV and the book of Isaiah is that in the newspapers and the TV and from the politicians and sociologists, you won't get any light that will be lasting. Just this last week, we have read of the great increase in abuse, sexual abuse of young children in our society. Do our politicians, sociologists, newspapers, the Sun, the Moon, and the Star, and the Times, and the Guardian, and the Glasgow Herald give us any light beyond that? They don't. But the Bible does. There is light. There really is. Outside threat is too. If you listen to some sides of the argument, it would seem that we should get rid of all our nuclear weapons. Other sides of the argument say we should keep them. We ordinary people don't know who to believe. They both sides claim that they want peace. The book of Isaiah, chapter 24, is a gloomy chapter. If you read it when you get home, you'll find that it reads uncannily like a destruction of the earth. I'm not saying there will be a destruction of the earth, but I read in Isaiah chapter 25, the very next chapter, these words, verse 7 and 8. On this mountain the Lord will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Just as sometime later the shroud of death would be removed from the body of Jesus and he would rise from the dead, so the Lord says he will remove the shroud of death and sin over this world, and there will be resurrection and glory, and tears and sorrow and sighing will be gone forever. But what is the sign that God will accomplish his great and wondrous purposes of mercy and glory for us? How do we know he will do it? What is a ray of light from beyond to illumine the darkness? How do we know that out of the mess of this world he will bring a new creation? Well, Isaiah says that he will give a sign. The Lord will give a sign to all the world, that if we would follow that sign, we would find eternal hope. Now the king of Jerusalem at the time of Isaiah was a man called Ahaz, King Ahaz. And Isaiah comes to King Ahaz, and Ahaz is a frightened king. We read in chapter 7, verse 10 to 14, the Lord spoke to King Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether it be in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David," that means the kings of Israel, "is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel." He will be called Emmanuel. Isaiah the prophet comes to King Ahaz and says, the Lord will give a sign. And Ahaz says, "I don't want a sign. I don't want a sign." He didn't want a sign from God. because he didn't want to believe in God. He didn't want to trust God. He was secretly, we know, making his own plans. He was making an alliance with a great and powerful nation called Assyria. And he thought this great and powerful superpower called Assyria would be able to save him and bring him peace. But this great power to the north, Assyria, was an evil nation. But King Ahaz thought he would put his trust in world power politics, and that way he would find peace for Judah and Jerusalem. He didn't want to trust the Lord. Nations of the world today think they're going to bring peace to the world by trusting the ways of world power politics. But Ahaz says to Isaiah says to King Ahaz, meddling in power politics and your refusal to trust God will bring evil, not good, to you. War, not peace. And then Isaiah says, the Lord says to you, even if you don't want a sign, the Lord will still give a sign. And Isaiah speaks of a sign, and it's a sign which is wonderfully fulfilled in a way that Isaiah couldn't have dreamt of 800 years later. Isaiah says a sign from the Lord is that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a baby. And he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah in the Spirit was looking forward to the coming ages. And he saw that a child would be born into this world, and this child would be different from other children. His birth would be different, born of a virgin. Born in such a way to show that God is beginning to do something wonderful in the world. That God is beginning to break in to this sinful world of darkness and to let a light shine. How strange it is that bishops today tell us they don't believe in the virgin birth. But Isaiah says this is the very sign. The New Testament says this is the sign from God, that he is actually coming to help us and save us in this world. That's why this baby who's to be born will be different, born differently than the rest of us. His name will be Emmanuel, God himself come to dwell amongst us. God's kingdom will break into this world as a little baby. Why a little baby? Why a child? Because the root of sin and evil and destruction and darkness in this world is the pride of man. We're so proud. And when God's kingdom comes into the world, it begins in exactly the opposite way of all human pride and arrogance. God comes to us as a little child, first of all. He comes humbly and meekly and weakly, it seems. And if you read chapter 7 to 9 of Isaiah, you'll find many examples of God saying that a little child is his sign to the world. God comes humbly to us Therefore we must come humbly to him. He has stooped down to us, so we must stoop before him. If you want to engage a little child in conversation, you need to stoop and kneel near him or her. God has come to us in that humble way. If we wish to speak to God and to hear him, we must also come before him like children. If we don't, we'll never speak to him, nor will we ever hear his voice. And what will this child that's to be born do? What does Isaiah say of this child? Well, chapter 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This child will be a light in the darkness. Do you and I have the light of life? Or do we have no idea where we or the world is going? The newspapers have no idea where this world is going. If you know the Word of God and know the Lord, you know where it is going. You will have the light of life. And that will be a tremendous encouragement to you in spite of all that you see and hear around you. Suppose you are in real trouble in the world, in your family, or in your health. If you know your destiny, if you have a light to show you the way, you will have the light of life to live by. And how wonderful and how needful that is today. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Christ is God's gift to us. We did nothing to earn Christmas. It's God's great gift to us. He freely offers himself to us. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That means he will be very great in wisdom. His wisdom will be beyond all human wisdom. I believe that at the end of this age, at the end of the world, when the Lord comes in glory, when power politics in this world has done its worst, then the world at last will see the incredible, wonderful wisdom of God that there was in the gospel, that this was the way of peace through Jesus and his cross. Only with God with us, not pushing him away, is there any hope of peace. As the years go on and I get to know the Word of God more and more, the more I am filled with absolute awe at the great depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God to bring salvation to mankind. He will be Wonderful Counselor, and one day the nations who do not know him now will then recognize him, and they will know that they rejected him, many of them. How tragic it will be for them. Although this child is a human child and a man, Isaiah says he is also Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. King Ahaz thought that he was going to bring peace to Judah and Jerusalem by trusting power politics and this evil nation, Assyria. But no, that wasn't the way of peace. peoples of the world today think that if you follow this way or that way or another way, you'll find peace. There's only one way of peace, and that's through the Prince of Peace, God with us, who later died for our sins, the sins of the world. That is the only way of peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and while the peoples of the world do not accept him, believe him, and obey him, they will not find peace. He is the way of peace. He came so humbly to us. And when we come humbly to him, we find peace for ourselves. If only the world would find that peace. But his kingdom will come. It will be an everlasting kingdom, as Isaiah says. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Do you and I wish to be part of that great purpose that God has? How can we be part of that purpose? We too need to be born as a child. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means, to use other words of Jesus, except we turn and become like little children, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Unless we humbly look to the Lord to receive from him as little children, then we cannot enter the kingdom of God, because there's no room for arrogance and pride in God's kingdom. The Lord has come so humbly and so meekly to us at Christmas. We must come to him in the same way. May God bless us all. Let us pray. Dear gracious God, our heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy wondrous love to us. In a world filled with arrogance and war, you did not leave us alone, but came in great mercy, so humbly to us. We pray with all our heart that many millions of people will be stirred this Christmas time all over the world to think of who it was who was born and why he was born for us, and then turn to him with all their heart. We ask these things through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen.